Good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for sharing in the room today. I'm just thrilled to see each and every one of you as we focus again this morning on Ephesians 1:10. For an administration of the fullness of times to head up all things in Christ, both the things in heaven and the things on earth, even in Him. I'm presenting a few thoughts today that might inspire you to more study in this area, being aware of my own limitations. But when we are moved to talk about something, may God give us, each and every one, grace to hear the word and a measure of understanding in it. You and I are aware that at Acts 28, the nation of Israel was let go. Acts 28 and 25 is just a verse that really is so important for us. The Jews in Rome, the dispersed Jews in Rome, disagreeing with one another, they were let go. The King James says departed. But they didn't just leave the room, they were let go. And of course you know the word let go is the very word translated put away in Matthew 1:19 when Joseph was considering Mary his wife. After Acts 28, you and I and the listeners of this audio are also becoming increasingly aware that the Apostle Paul uniquely was given the dispensation of the grace of God, the mystery of Ephesians chapter 3. Now, this mystery is a dispensation, and it contains many, many wonderful features. We've looked at some this morning, Ephesians 1:3. Israel being placed aside, God revealed a new purpose and plan. Ephesians 1:3, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Ephesians 1:19. The power in us is according to the power in Christ who was raised and seated at God's right hand. Ephesians 2:6, and we have been raised together and made to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ. Ephesians 2, the creation of Jew and Gentile into one new mankind. Oh, how important it is to recognize that in heavenly places there is no distinction between a Jew and a Gentile. It's a one new mankind. Total changes, friends, that took place after Acts 28. And how few there be that, I suspect, really understand them. But that's all the things that have happened to us in Christ. Wonderful, unsearchable riches. But today, there's something that I want to bring out in this post-Acts ministry. And we now come back to our verse, Ephesians 1:10, and notice that Paul says, there is a dispensation of the fullness of times in which God wants to head up all things in Christ, both the things in heaven and the things on earth. Now, up until Acts 28, the things on earth were very, very well revealed, weren't they? Type, shadow, prophecy, the kingdom that was promised to Israel, was given to them in a typical way. All look forward not only to Israel's fullness and the joy they will have when Christ heads up that sphere, but it also extended to that group called the overcomers, the elect remnant. And so not only were they going to enjoy the kingdom on the earth, they were going to reign with Christ on the earth, judging angels and judging the world, remember. And you'll find that in Corinthians, won't you? Oh yes, the third heaven, the new heavens, the new earth, the revelation of truth up until Acts 28 was all about the headship or the fullness of Christ in the earthly sphere. And now, after Israel's put aside and those purposes put aside with them, God now reveals the mystery of his will. Do you see? He's had something that has been hidden in himself. Let's have a look at Ephesians 1:9. In grace, having made known to us the mystery of his will. God's purpose. Do you see will? What God wants. Oh yes. Oh yes, he had a purpose for us. But this mystery of his will also includes, very importantly, on the headship of Christ in the above heavens. So this morning, we're moving away from what we are in Christ and what God's done for us, and we're going to focus on this headship of Christ in the above heavens. So I'm just so thankful, and that's my focus. So let's go then to further down this passage, chapter 1, and we're going to have a look at chapter 1, verse 19. Now, and I'm picking this up right in the middle of a theme today, but remember, I'm focusing on Christ, and I want you to appreciate that. So here's verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 1. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power to usward, the ones believing, according to the working of his mighty strength, which he wrought in Christ, raising him from the dead, and he seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Remember, I'm focusing this morning on the headship of Christ, not on us, the members of the church, which is his body. Far above all principality and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named. Verse 22. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be, head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. What did verse 10 say? God has a dispensation in operation. For those of you that are thinking ahead of the speaker this morning, and I know some of you race ahead. We all do, don't we? I believe that the dispensation of the fullness of times is the overall or covering dispensation in which this dispensation is a part. That's just something for you to think about. That the dispensation of the fullness of times is an overall administration referring to God's will and his purpose. And over all things, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth, God has this dispensation that it culminates or looks to the fullness of opportunities, and the end and goal of it all is to head up all things in Christ, the things in heaven and the things on earth. But we know the post-Acts letters are about the things in heaven, right? Back to chapter 1. In the heavenly places where Christ is seated at God's right hand, how and what is the relationship between Christ and you and me? Head. You see. Oh yes, we know this, and praise God we do. He's head over the called out company, which is his body. Now, This called out company is the fullness of him who fills all in all, or completes. Now, when you fill something up, it's complete, isn't it? When you fill something up, it's complete. Now, a body without a head is incomplete. And thus, in the above heavens, where Christ is seated, he is head over all things to this church which is his body. And the body is the completeness of him, the one who completes all. Now remember, ultimately, Christ will complete or fill up all things in every sphere. He will be head over all things in every place, earth and heaven, right? That's the goal. But at the moment, in this dispensation of the grace of God, he has head over all things, you see, to the church which is his body in heavenly places. For the earth, we leave that for the moment. God's purposes for the earth have been postponed. But in our sphere, here he is now as the head. Because what was God's plan and purpose? He wanted to head up all things in Christ. And we are now in heavenly places and considering Christ's preeminence there. Now, Psalm 8 is featured here, and I know that a lot of us, you know, think, why did God bother to, inspire the Apostle Paul? Isn't it out of place to be quoting the Old Testament? Well, let's have a look at it. Verse 5 of Psalm 8, for you have made him lack a little from God, or a little lower than the angels, and have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him rule over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yes, and beasts of the field, the birds of heaven, the fish of the sea. Verse 8 goes on to say, and all that pass through the paths of the sea. Oh, in the earthly sphere, isn't it wonderful to know how consistent the Word of God is when Paul says in Romans chapter 8, written in the Acts period, that all creation groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, because the headship of Christ in the earth means a restoration of the dominion that Adam lost. Our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, says Psalm 8. Now, Paul didn't really extensively quote from this psalm. It said, you have put all things under his feet. And he took the psalm because the psalm spoke about the excellency of the Lord's name in the earth. But now Paul, having been privileged to know the knowledge of God's will regarding the mystery and Christ's headship in heavenly places, takes that psalm and says, look, he's now got headship and dominion in the heavenly places as well. It's the spirit of the psalm that Paul brings into heavenly places. This dominion that he has. It also, Psalm 8, included his humility. Remember that the cross is featured in this dispensation. The cross features here. And I want to bring it out by moving along in Ephesians, so I'd better get back there, hadn't I? So yes, Christ in Ephesians 1 is seated in the heavenly places, Ephesians 1:20, far above all ruling, all principality and authority and power and dominion. This is where he is. He's got this headship over all things to the church which is his body. He has this headship. And that's all we're focusing on tonight. Remember, there was humiliation first, though. I want to deal with that in a minute. So, and this church which is his body is the completeness of him the one who fills all in all. So in heavenly places right now, we have Christ in a position of authority and headship. But remember, God has a purpose that all places, heaven and earth, will be headed up in Christ when that dispensation of the fullness of opportunities will be over. I want to come to Ephesians chapter 3 and bring you a familiar verse, verse 15. Paul says in verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom every fatherhood in heaven and upon earth takes its name." Do you see? It's not so much family but fatherhood. A dispensation when all will be headed up in Christ in heaven and on earth. Every fatherhood or family in heaven and on earth. But the post-Acts epistles are about the heavenly places, aren't they? And his headship there. Let's come to chapter 4. Because now I'm bringing out the cross and this headship, this dominion of Christ in our heavenly sphere. I'm going to take a few verses out of chapter 4. And so I'm focusing on Christ for the moment. "Therefore," he says, "when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." But that he ascended, what is it? But that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth, or even the lower parts, that is, the earth. Christ, to accomplish redemption and salvation, he needed to descend, didn't he, to the earth? For that was the place of sacrifice. That's where his cross brought about and was the means of his endurance, but also the means of his shedding of blood. Cross was on the earth, and that place was the place where so much was accomplished. But not everything was revealed, was it? So, in this chapter, and in the post-Acts epistles, once again, we have a reference to he who descended is the same also as he who ascended up far above all heavens, that he might what? Fill all things. It's his headship in our sphere that I'm trying to bring out of the post-Acts epistles today. Do you see? He's completing all things, including the things in heaven. Up until Acts 28, it was all about the earth and the new Jerusalem, new heavens, new earth, and the things descending there. But in these post-Acts epistles, well, the mystery of God's will, says Paul in chapter 1, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he's going to head up all things in Christ. Do you see? This above heavenly sphere also is part of God, Christ's kingdom, and he will be and is the head of that sphere of his kingdom. That's what the post-Acts about. Up until Acts 28, when you read about the kingdom, you read about the earth and the new Jerusalem and Abraham, correct? But in the post-Acts, now we have an aspect of his kingdom, which is in the above heavens, above all heavens, you see. He's going to head up all things. Now this is a quote from Psalm 68. And again, we might say to ourselves, why is this in our epistles? Well, because Paul again is taking the spirit of this psalm. I want to go back and have a look at it this morning. Remember, the headship. And if Christ is going to preeminent and fill all things and have headship, well, enemies have to be subdued, don't they? Oh, you mean, for Christ to be head in the above heaven, there were some enemies there? Well, let's go read Psalm 68 before we explore that a bit too much. And I've got some verses here out of Psalm 68. that I would just like to share with you. Remember, never be afraid to go back and read a context when our apostle quotes the Old Testament. In fact, I should say, not only should we not be afraid, we should be willing and thrilling to go back and read it. Verse 11. The Lord gave the word. The bearers of it were a great army. Isn't it interesting that after Acts 28, the Lord gave the word? You know, I see some nice little twists of divine humour sometimes when I read the scriptures. The Lord gave the word. Yes, he gave it to Paul. Isn't that right, everybody? Now, there is a great army. When you think of the right dividers around the world, it's a pretty big, sizable number, although we feel very lonely at times. But anyway, back to 68:12. The kings of armies fled away, and she who stayed at home divided the plunder. I'm going down to verse 14. When the Almighty scatters kings in it, snows on summer. You see, Psalm 68 is a psalm about dominion, enemies being defeated and set aside. The mountain of Bashan is God's mountain. Bashan Rain is a mountain of peaks. Why do you gaze in envy, O mountain range, at the mountain God has chosen for his resting place? Yes, the Lord will dwell in it forever. But where in the post-Acts not talking about mountain ranges, are we? But we're talking about enemies defeated and the Lord resting. Ephesians 2. And we are built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit in heavenly places. But you see, friends, in heavenly places there were things that needed to be subdued before Christ could take his headship. The chariots of God are myriads, thousands of thousands. The Lord is among them in Sinai, in the holy place. You have gone up on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts for men. Yes, the rebellious also, that you might dwell among them. You see? Blessed is the Lord. He daily bears burdens for us, the God of our salvation. Yes, the God of their salvation defeated enemies and divided the spoil, didn't he? He divided the spoil on the earth. Let's be concerned when we come back to Ephesians. Because what Paul is doing here, and what God is doing, I believe, is giving us a hint through these Old Testament passages as to what took place. Now, that he ascended, come back here and look. What is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts, that is the earth? He who descended is the same also as he who ascended up far above all heavens. You see, just as Psalm 8 in our epistles doesn't mean that, you know, the sheep and the fish of the sea and the cows and the oxen are under Christ's feet now. Oh no, it means that in heavenly places there are those who were once rebellious that are under his feet now as well. And again, in Psalm 68, the Holy Spirit is affirming and confirming for us that the one who ascended is the one who defeated enemies in that place, that he might fill all things. And the gifts, of course, that he gave in our sphere and for this dispensation are not the spoils of battle. Oh, Psalm 68, she who stayed at home divided the spoils. Oh, no, no. In our sphere, the spoils are gifts that relate to the proclamation of the truth. Think about that. The gifts in our calling are apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers. What? For the adjusting of the saints. Saints who came out of the Acts period had to be adjusted to this new sphere, this new calling, where Christ is head, far above all heavens, far above all principality and power. Now, is that a gift to be treasured or not? What would you rather? A plot of land, or would you rather know the truth? I know what I'd prefer. I want to know the truth about this present calling. I want to know about Christ's headship and dominion in the above heavens. And God, who knows what our hearts desire, gave these pastors, apostles and teachers. Now, I think there might be still some floating around, but that's not my... That's only there for you to think about. Certainly, there were apostles and prophets at the opening of this dispensation. So be aware that those apostles and prophets who came out of the Acts period to set up this dispensation may have still retained some of the powers. And that doesn't mean, does it, that we're to be concerned about that. I think the Apostle Paul probably still had some great authority when he was given this secret, this mystery. God didn't need to do anything. I believe God continued to empower Paul because the opposition was so great at the opening of this dispensation. Something else just for you to think about today. But have I made this point here about Psalm 68? That Psalm 68 is about a conquering of enemies and spoil being divided. And that, you know, Paul doesn't have scriptures to speak about the present dispensation, does he? But the man knows the Word of God, and look at how skillfully he takes the spirit of these passages. And by them, we are taught more, aren't we? We have a deeper understanding of what went on in heavenly places when Christ ascended. I was reminded this morning, over the first cup of coffee, that certainly Christ, after his resurrection, descended to the spirits in prison and proclaimed his victory. You see, there's a proclamation of victory in every sphere, isn't there? But all in heavenly places as well. You see, friends, the cross really not only was effective for God's purposes for the earth. Naturally, God's children need to be redeemed and have salvation that was brought about by the cross. But the cross did some other things, didn't it? It judged the prince of the power of this world. Remember that? It judged. The Lord says, now is the prince of the power of this world. I might have got the words wrong, but now he's judged by the cross. Look at what it did. What else did the cross do? Before I go to Colossians, I do want to just jump over to Hebrews chapter 9 and hope I can remember a verse down there. Almost all things, and I know this is a bit of a lesson which is covering a lot, and friends, trust me, if some of this doesn't fit together for you, well, that's my fault, not yours, but I'm hoping just to paint a picture. That's all this morning, just to paint a picture. Hebrews 9:22, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Therefore, it was necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. Oh yes, the Lord said to Mary, touch me not, for I have not ascended to the Father. But the heavenly things themselves were purified with better sacrifices than these, i.e. the high priest went into Israel's tabernacle, had blood, purified his own sins and the sins of his family. All the vessels of the temple were purified or purged with the blood of an animal. Oh, but what went on in heavenly places with Christ's blood, you say? What was the staining in that sphere? Oh, sin entered the world, remember. Where was it before it entered the world? Satan had that anointed cherub that covered... Was one who walked among the fire, says Ezekiel. God, he was a cherub. And we have lots of things to think about. Now, do you see the headship of Christ in heavenly places? Enemies had to be defeated for that to come about. The let's go to Colossians. I don't know how long I've been talking here, so I don't want to make it a long lesson. It's Sunday morning. Some of you haven't even had breakfast yet, although I know you've had coffee. Colossians, verse 12. Give thanks to the Father, who has made us meet or worthy to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. In the light, in his sight. For he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Oh, Paul, keep talking about me, Paul. You can keep talking about me. Oh, no, no, Paul's not going to do that. He says in verse 14, look at this verse. It's like the one in Ephesians 1:7, isn't it? In whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. He's not going to talk about you and me. He's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Do you see, Colossians, a post-Acts epistle? The firstborn doesn't mean he was born first, remember. The heir of all creation. Why is he the heir of all creation? Well, for all things were created by him, the things in the heavens. Ah, post-Acts epistles, you see. See the focus on that sphere? The things in heaven and the things on earth. The visible, the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He was ascended far above them all in Ephesians 1. Now Paul's going to tell you something else. They're all created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist or hold together. Now, having said that, look at the dominion of Christ in our sphere. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he might be preeminent in all things. All places, all things, heaven and earth, Christ is preeminent. The fullness, the completeness, the headship of Christ is what God has in view in that overall dispensation of the fullness of the opportunities. All things to be headed up in Christ, whether they be in our sphere that now we know about, or whether they be on the earth. For, says verse 19, it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell. All completeness. I'm going to simplify it. Christ is the fullness or the head of the church, which is his body. The body is the fullness or completeness of him. In the above heavenly sphere, which is a part of his kingdom, he has the headship, doesn't he? Praise God for that. But there's coming a day when he will be heading up all things in all sphere, because everything was created by him and for him and to him. That was a Father's goal. When all things were created, friends. But you see, the creation was part of the dispensation of the fullness of times. Creation was aiming and pointing towards the time when Christ would be the fullness of it all. I hope I'm helping you to consider some rather difficult things this morning. Verse 20. And through him, having made peace through the blood of his Christ, now peace, you see, brought about by blood, it pleased the Father to reconcile all things to him. All things to himself through him, whether the things on earth or the things in heaven. Look at it. See the recurring phrase? What did we say up until Acts 28? Things on the earth. But now, in this post-Acts epistle, oh, the things in the above heavens. That's what this dispensation is about. This fullness of Christ in that sphere. And in that sphere, enemies. Now, he's talking about us. But look at us. We were once, what? Enemies. Well, yeah, we were enemies in our mind by wicked work, but we've been reconciled. Perhaps there are principalities and powers who were once enemies and are now reconciled? Do you think? for Christ to have that headship and fullness in heavenly places? Let's go to chapter 2. Verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There's that word fullness again. Completeness. Oh, we're touching on things that, oh, if I hadn't started to explain, I'd just lose you and me. Let's just think on the fullness for the moment. And you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. Do you see, in the heavenly spheres, Christ was raised, he was exalted, and he's the head of you and me, and we're not principalities and powers. But have they been reconciled who were once enemies in that sphere? Let's come down to verse 14. Again, I want to pick out just some themes. And I'm really skipping over the ordinances. That's not our subject. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. Having stripped rulers and authorities. You see, in the context of the cross and the ordinances that were contrary to Jew and Gentile, rulers and authorities were stripped. I mean, that's beyond me to explain, but something's there, isn't it? He made a show of them openly, publicly, triumphing over them in it, i.e. the cross. And the truth that was revealed now after Acts 28 about what the cross accomplished. I know it's difficult. Some people see the cross and they think everything was revealed when the cross happened. That ain't true, friends. But let me stay focused. Can you see that those ordinances, the distinction between Jew and Gentile, can't exist in heavenly places? It's a new mankind. And we've been reconciled who were enemies, and now, Psalm 68, you see, he's taken captive captive. That includes you and me. We who were once his enemies. Oh, we've been taken captive and we've been blessed and enriched by him. As Psalm 68 said, even the ones who were opposing, you see. And in that heavenly places, the principalities and powers have also been stripped. And some of them are members of our calling. The headship of Christ in the heavenly places, you see, is part of the dispensation of the fullness of the opportunities. Here's our verse that we started with, and I'm not quite sure if I've brought it all out, but you see, there is an administration of the fullness of times to head up all things in Christ. The things in heaven and the things on earth. But the post-Acts epistle are about the things in heaven and the headship there. If you want to read Romans, of course, then you have to read Isaiah chapter 11, don't you? Where, as Psalm 8 says, all things under his feet, the restoration of the dominion that Adam lost. That's about the earth, isn't it? But here, this headship. These post-Acts epistles bring about this great and glorious revelation of the kingdom of Christ, which includes the above heavens, where he is head. The one who fills or completes all and in all. You see, this headship is looking for that day when he will be the completeness, the head, if you will, in every sphere. And I hope this morning's lesson, I hope it helped you to think about these things. I didn't intend in any way to make this difficult. I tried to keep it as best I could. And I want to finish with a passage out of Philippians. Another passage where Paul quotes the Old Testament. Now, Philippians is a fabulous epistle, and it's about the cross, isn't it? It's not about the blood of the cross, though, and sins forgiven, is it? It's about the added humiliation that the Lord was prepared to endure for the joy that was set before him. Verse 8 of Philippians 2, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Now, as many an expositor has pointed out, Christ could have died in a blaze of glory, as the Hollywood producers might have had. He could have had thousands of angels accompanying him. He could have gone outside the camp and died. But he died the death of the cross. The cross is the added humiliation, you see. Therefore, Philippians isn't talking, in my opinion, about the earthly sphere at all, is it? Therefore, God has highly exalted him and has given him a name which is above every name. Now have a look at verse 10. And this morning, maybe verse 10 might be a very, very interesting verse for meditation. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of heavenly ones and of earthly ones and of ones under the earth, i.e., I believe, the dead people. But did you see the tie between Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians? Oh yes, what have we got here? And that every tongue should confess, verse 11, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And we are pretty confident, aren't we, that this is a reference out of Isaiah. I didn't even look it up. This morning I didn't want to go there, but I think it's Isaiah 45 maybe. Yep, 23 to 25. You can go and look at it. But you see, Isaiah... just like Psalm 8 and just like Psalm 68, isn't about heavenly places. But Paul took out those passages because now he's showing in these post-Acts letters that this bowing of the knee, this submission to the one who has headship, now includes the ones in the heaven, not just the earthly ones. So this dispensation, parenthetical dispensation, is an anticipation of the dispensation of the fullness of the seasons, when in every sphere Christ will be preeminent and head up all things. And thus, Ephesians 1, who are we today? Oh, all things are under his feet, in regard to the head, the church, which is his body, which is the fullness of him who fills or completes all. That, I believe, is very, very strongly tied to the day when Christ heads up all things in heaven, and that's our sphere, and on the earth. God has a will. Before the foundation of the world, what was it? Had all things. The mystery. Oh, he chose me. Yes, he did. Oh, before the foundation, he raised and seated me. Well, yes, he did. But before the foundation, he had a will. He had something that was hidden. And it concerned a dispensation of the fullness of times when all things would be headed up in Christ. The things in heaven and the things on earth. Bless you so much for listening today. Thank you for this opportunity. And may these verses and these thoughts be an encouragement to you as you consider your calling. And may we, each one, make our calling and election sure and see the purpose of God in it. Not just about me, is it? It's about the Saviour and his headship in every sphere. Father, we bless you for this morning, and we thank and praise you, and we joy in your word, and we thank you, Father, that in your Son all fullness dwells, and that in him ultimately there's coming a day when all things will be under his feet. not just principalities and powers, and we who were once enemies, but Father, all the things on the earth too, the sheep and the cattle and the oxen, they will be under his dominion. What Adam lost, every part of creation will be under his headship. And Father, that was your good intent, your wish, your will. And Father, we bow to it this morning. We acknowledge it, and we bless you for it, and we bless your Son, our Saviour, our Lord, and our Head. To him and for him are all things. Amen.